Well, good morning. It's a great pleasure and honor to be with you here. As Dr. Olk mentioned, I worked 36 years on influence of humic substances on soil health, fertilizer, and water use efficiency. I think that Daryl appreciated. He kind of highlighted some of the stuff I was going to tell him potato. Maybe it will save me a little bit of time. 2 weeks ago, Northeastern University had this. I thought it's very important to say they did some soil analysis of 700 conventional farms in 48 states. They find that actually their results showed alarming discovery that these samples obtain little or no humic substances. This was from Dr. Duizo. I just got this about 2 weeks ago. And I was actually participated on one of this study at the past with him. I want to just give you some previews. I love some of the scientists. I love Dr. Chacko, what he thinks, what humic substances do. He says the humic substances are not, they're not only the universal deposit of the carbon and energy, remember, carbon and energy, but they possess a biological potential that make them an analog, mean parallel for adenosine triphosphate. In my 36 studies, some data I had, I cannot test that. So this is actually energy it creates to influence metabolism of the plant and soil metabolism. So with that, I'm just going to few things and show you some data. And again, this is from the German Institute of Biophysics. Anything we apply, soil clay particles love to marry with humic substances. Even they don't need, I think, a minister to do that. You can see 50-100% and they do it. So when we use wet chemistry of the humic substances, make this carboxyl and phenol group actually relaxed, we create polydispersity. That's what we call a polydispersed polyanion. Don't deport me, that's the only word I know. I wish I can find that something in English or simple English or Turkish. But these are very important. Another thing about humic substances, their particle size are nanoparticles. If you make a comparison, see 1 centimeter is 10 million nanometers. If you remember from your basic soil, so clay minerals are 0.002 millimeter. And humic substances, particle size are nanometer. If I compare 0.005 millimeter to nanoparticles, then humic substances are five times smaller, may create more space. Keep this in mind. When they marry your clay minerals, then they create micropores, which roots, water, and nutrients reside. When you have a micropore, then you create macropores that oxygen reside. So you make soil more aerobic. And these are something I just love, some of this research part. Then a plant, anything we apply. 96, I mean, you do apply all this fertilizer. At the end, when you harvest, 96.6% is carbon, hydrogen, oxygen. Dr. Yonahen from Israel told me, God already given us everything from air, water, sun energy. So, but humic substances are so important in translocating this nutrient, enhancing fertilizer and water use efficiency. This is my theory. You can deport me. My theory is actually, the farming is transforming sunlight into crop yield. One, photosynthesis, capturing the carbon energy, translocation, moving it, respiration, creating the yield. In nature, it happens anyhow. You know what the definition of science is? Adherence to natural law. Dr. Olk was talking, Dr. Luciano, I love it. In the laboratory, he did this. He think when we apply humic substances, we change root architecture. That's true. Root hair, root exudates, especially the cell rhizodisposition. I see that, not to that extent, in the field. As you mentioned, we need to compare how much, and so we are seeing this. And again, if I summarize, when we apply human substances, what happens in the soil and plant is four things. Physical, we create organo-mineral complexes, we may create micropores, the roots, water, nutrient reside. Soil solution chemistry, complexation, chelation, you know. Biological, actually that micropore enhances. It's a million-dollar house that I call for microbes. Carbon activates many enzymes and hormones, especially rhizal disposition. Some plant stimulant properties, the people who have a human chemistry, and their carbon 27, 29, all those kind of things, they're best parts of the humic substances. Daryl mentioned that I want to just show, this was, I did in 1987. You can see, actually, Dr. Mike Thornton from the Parma Research Station worked with me. What it was a mediocre soil. We applied humic with different rate to know what's going on. Actually, it was a free lime, 7% free lime. We just banned it for different rates of fertilizer. This was what astonishing to growers. I know when I was digging, I had maybe 40, 50 farmers there. They couldn't believe that we had that kind of yield, because this was a very mediocre field with the high pH, pH of 7.8 to 8.2. There were three locations. So you can see stats called differences. This was 2014. I did on russet norcoda. You can read those better than we do. I'm just going to show, and again, we see after 10 gallon or 37 liter, we see this hormonal and enzyme activity more in the plant, like it becoming hyperthyroidism. And I sent some sample actually for some pathologists. They said, no, there's no disease, actual plant get activated. So you can see again, in this cases again, we actually, when plants were about 6-7 inches tall, we sprayed different rates of that. You can see major yield increase. This was 2007, this year's. And again, I didn't know, this is in Melba, Idaho. The grower had excellent fertility. And you can see, generally, we see that in 10 gallon, we go level and come back. Then I find out grower had something called carbon toss. He added lots of that. But it's still with 1X, which was 2 gallon, 4 gallon, 6 gallon. We came down again, but we saw a good deal. This is a new humic. I'm doing some research on it. We're getting amazing result, amazing specific gravity. It's the first year, I cannot say that much, but so hopefully. I guess this is in the per ton. You don't need this. Again, this is a different format. We did some study on sugar beets, replicated plots. Some beets, there was a gentleman was asking hard pan. This area had a very hard pan, we call cliche layer. You can see how branching on sugar beet, and I have lots of data. I just picked some for 15 minutes. And it was amazing that we did penetrometer. You can see control had 200 to 350, 3X, which was 6 gallon, 40 in. And it was amazing how we softened that field. And these were the yield differences with 2X, which was the 4 gallon, and control we saw 19.6% differences. On the grain, and again, I have almost most of the crops, but I picked few to say. These are replicated plots. You can see how we were talking. Dr. Luciano was talking about rhizal disposition. I see that over and over. Dr. Oak is right. When we see what happened in the laboratory, when seeing the field, I can see we can really create that database, but we are seeing still positive result. So we harvested these. I believe that the one on the control and treated one we saw, that was actually 200, 142. We saw 22 bushels differences. You can see the massive roots. At the beginning, when we get that, we say that good rhizodisposition, we get good calcium translocation, plants are healthier, we see good yield. On alfalfa, the same amazing result. We see that almost a ton and a half differences. I did that in more than 20 different fields. This is actually I learned from grower we did. We applied this between the cutting. We see the yield and quality increased amazingly in alfalfa. The corn, the same. I do some research in Brazil. They have a lot of research going on. And this year, this was in Utah, my research, and the Brazilian. They saw 780 ears per hectare difference. Actually, this was replicated. And I saw 7.5 ton difference per acre in silage corn. And sometimes you may believe, we actually activate, sometimes we get 3 ear. Generally, you get an ear, extra ear, they're small, they're not. We were seeing every time in calcareous soil we apply sulfur, and we see these. I don't know why, but we see this kind of things. So aggregate stability. This grower, actually, his wife called me. They bought the cheap land. His wife called me, says, "Mir, I need a hammer to make this soil break. My husband lost her brain. What can we do?" As Daryl will said. I said, well, in the fall, we're going to use about 6 gallons of tin. I calculated everything. I mean, we couldn't believe. So this guy wanted me to do some work on aggregate stability. He started buying, bought on that one, put lots of money. So we did this after 7 years. You can see the aggregate that after applying humic acid, average was 6 gallon per acre. You look at the, I'm almost done. I'm doing lots of research on coding the urea and the monoammonium phosphate and all. I don't have time to, and hopefully in 2 years I'll give a good data. But one thing I want to show, this they did again in Brazil. I did at the Owyhee County. They assimilated this rainfall. They coded the potassium chloride with humic. And they saw 48% decrease in leaching. So actually, I saw that at the field, what you're saying, 20%. And we documented this. So those are maybe a differences. Watermark sensors, and I think Daryl Tank, he talked about, we had drought in Idaho. I did 10, 11 years of these. And in alfalfa and potatoes and all those kind of things. But 11.2% water sequestration. I was just calculating, Daryl, when you say, come very close what you find. Exact, very close. In summary, I can see, actually I have lots of research other area. These are when I was given talk in China, I asked 10 other university people that they did research. We agreed. We enhance solubilization of micronutrients, zinc, iron, manganese, some macronutrients, especially potassium, calcium, phosphorus. We buffer salt, reduce the burning, and actually Russell was talking. We prevent tie-offs. Again, I asked, now I work with 11 different countries. I find out they say the same thing. From 10 to 14% increase in crop production with quality factors, enhance plant nutrient translocation, accelerate ripening. I saw that in potato and some guys are seeing in fruit crops. Enhance soil health, we showed water sequestration 11%. In Germany, they use that as a frost bar. Actually, because hydrophobic and hydrophobic, and they use that as a frost bar. And they think, not they think, their research, especially on vegetable crop, it decreases the content of the nitrate and other harmful substances. And again, because it enhanced calcium translocation, mycelium of the funguses,
cannot penetrate if you have a good calcium middle lamella. As a result, it enhanced, it's very good for disease resistant. Since it is hydrophilic and hydrophobic, it's for drought resistant.
1 minute before I get deported.
I'm done.
That was very timely. Thank you very much.